This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. An outdoor training area for visually impaired people has been created at a play park in Stapleford. The Ilkeston Road Recreation Ground features traffic lights, button-operated crossings, bus stops, curbs, road and pavement markings and other street furniture. And, as far as we're aware, it is the first of its kind. We're joined today by Rebecca Morley from Guide Dogs and Ryan Vaughan from Broxtowe Borough Council to learn more. Hi Ryan, hi Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
So let's get started with you, Ryan. How did the project begin? Why did the council want to make this happen?
So originally the site is actually built a cycle training track, so it had no sort of idea of making it for vision impairment. It was quite a difficult one to sort of transfer to a vision impairment because the whole site is flat and it's always been designed to be for children to cycle on. Thanks to Rebecca and approaching the council, she saw that there's great potential here and we could probably make this as a sort of learning centre or area for people with vision impairment. And I was quickly to answer Rebecca's email that she approached the council with, and I came down on site and she eloquently portrayed how she envisioned it, and it was down to me to sort of get that down on paper and get a contractor on board and designers I was off to the races, really, with that.
Yeah, it's really exciting, Rebecca, that you saw the potential for this space and approached the council. Was this inspired by another similar project you'd seen somewhere else, or you saw the need for this and wanted to make it happen? What prompted that first email?
Yeah, so I work as a habilitation specialist for Guide Dogs. So in my role, I work with orientation, mobility and independent living skills. And that can be from children 0 to 25, children and young people, should I say. And I was actually with my access assistant at the time, scouting out places nearby to some of the schools that we work at to look at some appropriate spaces. And she said, oh, there's a park that I sometimes take my little boy to, and he uses the cycle track. And I said, oh, let's go and have a little look then. And we went down and we just said, wouldn't it be amazing if there was some sort of outdoor practice space for some of the children that we work with? Because obviously for children with a vision impairment, being near a roadside and learning road safety, being near moving cars and what have you, can be a really daunting experience. So it kind of came from that. Then we saw the space and we thought, oh, I wonder if there'd be some changes we could make here so it could be a dual purpose space. And of course, you know, as much as it's great to have a space that might be entirely built for something like that, actually, it's a brilliant opportunity for children that are thinking about their own cycling proficiency to be practicing around people that might be long cane users, or being just having that greater awareness. So we're going to have a generation of cyclists that are hopefully going to be kind of much more conscious of this as well. So yep, emailed Ryan. He literally got back to me pretty much immediately. It was like, let's meet down at the site. What can we do? So just so appreciative of Ryan and the team for yeah, just running with the idea.
So how did you adjust the existing track to be more accessible and include these training elements for blind and partially sighted young people?
So when Ryan and I met down at the site, we talked about things that would be really useful for vision impaired people, including things like tactile paving. So we've got some blister paving, we've got some corduroy paving, we've got the cycle and pedestrian paving as well as a guidance strip. Ryan and I also discussed how some of the areas that had initially been completely flat, how we might indicate edges appropriately. So I know Ryan's actually managed to get some like custom made kind of curb edging, which has been brilliant. So it's still safe for the cyclists, but still indicates a change in space for people that might be utilising tactile clues. We've also got some crossing points in there, and Ryan liaised with the RNIB to have a tactile and brailled map installed as well. So Ryan, over to you.
Yeah, it was quite difficult because we had to look at what was on the site, how can we change it, but how do we retain that cycle element? How do we make it safe still for people who are learning to cycle or want to learn about road safety and from a cycling perspective? So it was a lot of And I think Rebecca would agree, a lot of compromising with the sort of design, but it was also sort of a challenge as well for us. Because when we go to a contractor and we say, can we do this? They're looking at it from a perspective of a normal highway and or a road or something like that. And we've got to do it on a scale that is almost really far down because it's not the same size. And so we're looking at such a small scale and tight corners and turns, and it's how can we still get the same effect of what you will find on a real road, but on a smaller scale, which is quite difficult to portray. And it's also one of those cases where you've got a contractor who's maybe never done anything like this. So they don't have any experience working with tactile paving, or maybe it's the fact that they've never really taken the perspective of someone with vision impairment and how they approach the road. And I think that's where Rebecca's expertise was excellent, because I could just almost funnel that sort of her imagination to the designers really quickly. It was mainly down to Rebecca and her very good perspective, because as much as she's taking the vision impairment sort of what you would see in the real world, but she's taking it from someone who's going to teach it. So she's going to be there with the kids, and how she's going to best navigate them across this cycle training track, and how can she can teach it best. And I think that's what makes it a bit special. It's not just somewhere you'd find in the real world and you could do it. It's actually somewhere that's custom made and in a way to teaching as well. So
Absolutely. And the changes that have been made are brilliant for sighted and sight impaired people as well. So it's kind of real life examples, but I also imagine that it's a space that local schools could be coming down and practicing safe road crossings and kind of introducing the different elements that you might find. Next to a roadside, but obviously in a more contained environment. And what's really special about it is outdoors. So you're getting kind of well, especially at this time of year, obviously things like the wind and the rain and what have you, and you really notice the changes in sound and like the directionality of sound and what have you because of those elements. So that's also kind of really developing children and young people to think a bit differently about their safety and the considerations that they need to make. And you know, they are getting the ambience of the kind of, you know, there are roads nearby to it and what have you. So although it is in a safe, controlled space, they are actually really getting those live traffic sounds as well, which is lovely.
And what kind of feedback have you got from blind and partially sighted people using the space so far?
So I've taken a number of my students down so far and they have really enjoyed it. In fact, they're always asking when we're next going. So that's brilliant. Some of them have been able to achieve things that they've perhaps really struggled with before. So if you think when you're crossing the road and you're needing to practice how you would safely step up and down from a curb, now you don't necessarily want to be doing that for the first time where there is moving traffic. And obviously that takes balance, coordination, thinking about what they need to do with their cane before stepping out into the space as well. So Ryan and his team were able to install like a bit of raised curb that they could be practicing that with. And I've seen some of the children, you know, be able to step on and off the curb for the first time independently, not worrying about losing their balance and things like that, which they've now been able to translate to using on actual road crossings as well. So that's been great. And we've had a few families come down, one of which, Alfie, he brought his grandmother along with him, who's recently experienced a change in her vision as well. So he was teaching her how to use her cane within the space. So it's also been a really like nice opportunity for people of different generations to be able to kind of just have those conversations and bring about awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the wider community, what kind of feedback have you got from them about their experiences and what they're learning?
Because I actually live in Stapleford myself. I'm part of some of the different Facebook groups and things like that. And it's been really lovely as things have been shared on the Towns Fund page and what have you. People commenting and kind of saying, yeah, I take my kids down here. These improvements look really great and things like that. So, yeah, I don't know, Ryan, if you've been able to pick up on any more of that.
No, it's very much similar to what you're saying. It's a lot of nice feedback. I mean, a lot of people don't get to see the perspective from people who have vision impairment and might want to learn it. I know that from a council's perspective, that there's about roughly 5,000 people in just Broxton alone with vision impairment, whether it's newly developed or pre-existing, who would probably love to go down to the site. And I mean, that's just in our council alone. You've got to take Nottingham nearby and Derbyshire as well, and just the wider area. have now got this access to this new area to learn. I feel like, from our perspective, it's about getting it out there as much as possible because, we love the site as much as, anyone else, but we want to see it get used and help lives. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I've got some families and their habilitation workers that are actually coming from a bit further afield. There's some that live in Leicester and some teams that work closer to Birmingham and Chesterfield that are wanting to come down and have a little look at it. And I actually also spoke to a lovely gentleman who also works for the RNIB actually, but is based down in Luton. And he's been asking how his council might be able to replicate something similar. So I took him for a little, well, it was over the phone on my camera, but I just took him for a little virtual tour around the space as well. So it's quite interesting because there's people that are coming from all different regions that are asking about this. And my hope would really be that it is something that could be developed in other areas as well.
If people do want to give feedback, if they visit the site or they want to talk to you about the project and what you've done, where's the best place for them to get in touch?
Well, usually I would say Broxton Borough Council at the Economic Development email. You can usually get me or someone at Broxton will usually get the email towards me or contact me as well. That works. But if you're looking for someone who's going to be on the ground, I think Rebecca would be best situated for that.
Yeah, so when it's kind of initial inquiries and more thinking about that blue sky thinking and what we can be doing, I'm really happy to be contacted. So my email address is rebecca.morley@guidedogs.org.uk. But also, when it comes down to maybe the nitty-gritty and some of the planning side of things and the budgeting side of things, that's definitely where Ryan's expertise sit as well. So again, like we have for this project, it might well be a case that if you bring forward an inquiry to either of us, that we're in touch with one another and we can look at how we can support you as a collective.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Ryan Vaughan and Rebecca Morley, for joining us here from RNIB Connect Radio. And hopefully, your efforts will inspire many more of these to pop up.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Yes.